While we're talking about these older horses, it's probably a good time to segue into EOTRH, which we received a lot of questions about this dental disease. The first one here is from Jane, or it's from Mary Kay in Arlington, Washington. And if you're listening live and this was an area that you were interested in, now would be a great time to start sending in any additional questions. But can you please address the disease, the causes, symptoms, treatment, the demographic, where we see this disease? And it's one that maybe people aren't familiar with.
Well, apparently a lot more people are familiar with it because there's a lot of questions.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we first started okay, well, first let me say that EOTRH, or like my friend Dr. Olivia James in Australia likes to say, EARTH, it stands for equine odontoclastic tooth resorption and hypercementosis. So it's easier to just say EOTRH. A friend of mine, Dr. Bob Gregory from the Seattle area up in Washington, first reported on this in 2006 at the first Focus on Dentistry meeting for the AAEP in Indianapolis. He reported a case that he found that had teeth that were very painful for his patient, and they tended to be very big and fat, kind of like plums in the horse's mouth. And some of the other teeth were very moth-eaten. So we've been looking at this problem in horses for about close to 12, 14 years now, I think. I wrote a paper on it and presented that in 2007 before it had a name. Basically, what it is a disease primarily of the anterior dentition, okay, so the incisors and canines. We generally tend to see this disease in older geldings, teenage to older geldings, but mares are also included in this cohort. It's been said that there's more bay horses represented than any other color, but having said that, I've had several chestnut mares, so I don't know what that means, if anything. But what happens is the incisors and the canines, generally starting in the canines, and then as the disease progresses, it will progress towards the midline. So it will affect the corner incisors first and then head towards the central incisors. But this rule is not written in stone. I've seen horses that had different teeth affected, but always, of course, in the incisors and canines. What happens is that these teeth start to be resorbed within the bone so that they'll become loose and the gingiva will recede and they become very, very painful. You'll frequently see fistulated tracts with pus coming from them, and the horse has a difficult time grazing. If you offer the horse a carrot, they may not be able to nip that carrot off. But when I reported on it, I reported on what I had observed, and what I had observed back then is still the same thing that I observe today, and that is that I see three different forms of this disease. The first form would be the hypercementosis form, where the cemental layer of the horse's tooth becomes very prolific, and they just really form balls. And if you part your horse's lips and you look at his incisors, you might see just big bumps where the tooth roots should be. That tends to be the least painful form of this disease. The next form would be the highly resorptive form, where the teeth radiographically look very moth-eaten, all of them. Lots of gingival recession, the teeth can actually break down. And it's very, very painful. This is the most painful form. And the third form would be just a mixture of the two. Sometimes I'll see teeth that look like great big balls of cementum, and they do have resorption in them as well. We have no idea what causes this problem. If anyone has any ideas, please send them on in. It does seem to be a highly inflammatory condition. It seems to me to possibly be an immune-mediated kind of disease. I don't know if there's something around the world that we're feeding to horses that is causing this, or if it has to do with any sort of feed additive. I just don't know. I really don't know. Is it a virus? I don't know. The treatment, however, is the same, and it's to get rid of all the dead, infected, and painful teeth. So I will generally start with the canines, if the canines are the worst affected, and perhaps the corner incisors. And in some cases, I'll just go ahead and take out all 12 incisors and all four canine teeth all at the same time. I work very fast. I do this standing for the most part, although I've had a couple of horses that I had to lay down to do it because they wouldn't tolerate standing for this. And I do tell people that their horses are going to feel a lot better within about 72 hours, and I haven't been disappointed in this yet. It seems to me that horses are very quiet about indicating that they're in pain because they're a prey species, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. So when you get rid of these painful teeth, they do tend to have a burst of energy, and most people tell me that their horse is acting like they're 5 years younger within a few days after they get over the initial surgical trauma, you know. But they feel a lot better. Now, taking those incisors and canines out many times will lead a horse to hang his tongue out. So that's a problem if you're going to be showing them dressage or something. Mm-hmm. Some horses don't. You can take out all those teeth and they don't stick their tongues out, but some do. So that's a problem for some people, but most people just want their horses not to be in pain anymore and they want them to be healthy.
Yeah. So what is the long-term prognosis for those horses that have had their teeth removed because of it? Are they able to eat really well?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they can. I mean, if you think about it, the stomatic nasic system, that's your mouth, your muscles of mastication, your teeth, your the bones, everything. The stomatic nasic system has to work, right? You have to figure out how to use it, because if you can't eat, you die. Mm-hmm. So once it's not in pain, once they're not in pain anymore, they generally do just fine. Of course, they can't nip off grass, but their lips are very prehensile, so they can sometimes pull grass long enough with their lips, but they do just fine. I mean, you have to feed them knowing that they can't nip off grass, so if they go out to graze, I wouldn't expect for them to be able to maintain their body condition with just grazing, unless it was pretty long where they could pull it off with their lips, but they do tend to do just fine without all those teeth.
So for our horse owners who are listening, I think maybe I got the acronym wrong. So can you repeat it for us and then say the name of the disease again, because it is a really long one. So I had mentioned this to you yesterday that my own horse might have this. We haven't confirmed it yet, but it's this big, scary sounding, long name when your vet first says it to you. So.
Right. So the acronym is EOTRH, which stands for equine odontoclastic tooth resorption and hypercementosis. So it's easier to call it EOTRH.